So I hurried on over there, but I got the name of that and stuff.
It was
a completely different meeting than what I was having. It was supposed to be information, but it turned into a public hearing.
Oh, I see.
And so.
All right, we'd like to welcome everybody to the Manti City Council meeting for July 1st, 2026. We have Brian Francois, Jennifer Christiansen, A.J. Maurer, Megan Johnson, and Mary Pipes acting as Mayor Pro Tem this evening. We also are joined by Jason Brown, our city manager, and Matt Gray, our recorder. We're really happy to have everybody here this evening. We would like to start out with a prayer, and I have asked Brian Francois to give that, and then Jennifer Christiansen will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Father in Heaven, we come to Thee as citizens of Manti, and we wish to give thanks, Father, for the rain that we have received, and we pray for more. We pray for those who are fighting these fires that are devastating parts of our beautiful state. Please help them, strengthen them, give them inspiration as they strive to figure out how best to restrict those fires from getting any bigger, and of course to put them out. We pray for rain that could also come to help put the fires out. And then, Father, please bless the individuals of the state to be mindful when they're out and about, to make sure that they are extremely careful so that we don't have new fires popping up all over the place. We're grateful to gather in this meeting. We have much to talk about, and we pray that that would bless us to be able to touch on those things that are important, that we would be inspired to be able to act in an appropriate way on those things that we need to act on, that will bless this community and bless the citizens of this community. We feel so blessed to be here, and we know that there are things that we need to do that can improve the lives of our citizens, and we pray that in our capacity we'll be able to do that. And we ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Everyone, please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Brian and Jen. Appreciate that. All right, let's see. I've got to get my thing back up here. All right, the first thing on our agenda this evening is the declaration of conflicts of personal interest with any of the agenda items. Does anybody have a conflict with any of the agenda items we have on our agenda this evening? Nope. Good enough. All right, well, we will move on to number two, and that is approval of recent council meeting minutes of June 17th, 2026. Did you all get a chance to read through those? Are there any corrections that need to be made to the minutes? All right, if there are no corrections, then I will accept a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from our prior meeting.
And do we have a second for that?
I'll second that motion.
All right, the motion was made by Brian Francois and seconded by Megan Johnson to accept those minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, and then number three is to the approval of the payment report of the bills for June 16th through June 30th. Did y'all get a chance to look those through? Everybody's good with that. Do I have a motion to accept and pay those bills before the end of the evening?
I can make that motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right, motion made by Jennifer Christiansen, seconded by A.J. Maurer. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, we are moving right along. All right, the Water Asset Management Plan Proposal Award, that is number four on the agenda. Jason, are you going to take that one?
Yeah, so we received three proposals. You can see here, Jones in the Mill was the apparent bidder. We are making a recommendation for Jones in the Mill to complete that asset management plan. That is a requirement of the Division of Drinking Water for our water treatment plant done. So the plan is a must, and they were the ones that gave us the best bid.
Okay, and in your opinion, would that be the best one to accept then? Okay. And do we need to make a motion on that?
We do.
All right. Do you have any questions, Council, about this water assessment management plan? Okay, no questions. I will accept a motion to award that proposal to Jones and DeMille Engineering.
I'll make a motion that we award that water assessment management plan to Jones and DeMille Engineering.
Good. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Motion made by A.J. Maurer, seconded by Megan Johnson to accept Jones and DeMille's for the water asset management plan proposal. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. We're good to go. All right, the next thing on our agenda is a public hearing this evening. The first public hearing is regarding the proposed fiscal year 2026-27 interim budget. So at this point, I will open the public hearing. If we have anyone who would like to make a comment on the interim budget for fiscal year 2026-27.
The budget? Sure.
Yeah, give us. Thanks, Megan. All right, we'll give everybody just a minute to look over that as Jason scrolls through it. We've looked over it numerous times.
Yeah.
We discussed that in our last meeting.
So, for those who are looking at this, far right column is the proposed budget for this next fiscal year. This third column, this middle column here, this is our actuals of what we have received this year so far. And this column here was our budget, our proposed budget. So our future budget is this far right column. That's the one you're going to be most interested in. So if I go down and I show you the bottom line for our general fund, let me pull up a little bit different budget that might be easier for everybody to see.
Cue the Jeopardy music.
So, our total general fund budget is $3.8 million.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah,
I believe
2.7.
Jason, what's accounting for most of that jump for next year?
A large part of that is revenues that we're bringing in from our savings accounts. A large part of that is from our CDBG funding for the senior center project. That one alone is $236,000 just for the CDBG revenue. Yeah, you can see the actuals from the prior years. There was a $3.2 million and a $3.1 million from.
Okay. So again, I would ask if there are any comments for this public hearing for the interim budget. All right, seeing no comments, we will go ahead and close the public hearing on the 2026-27 interim budget. And we will open our second public hearing. This one is regarding executive municipal officer compensation. Jason, do you want to give a little overview of that? And then we will open the public hearing for public comment.
This is the schedule of increase for those officers required in the posting of the hearing for increases. The COLA increase this year was 2.6% with some merit increases to certain city employees. The council received an increase in October of last year and therefore no increase for July 1st.
So again, once you've had a chance to look over that, we would invite public comment on these consideration of the executive municipal officer compensation. Going once, going twice. Okay. Seeing as there is no public comment, we will close the public hearing on the compensation. And we will move on to item number 7, which is consideration and possible adoption of the county auditor's certified tax rate. And we're getting that pulled up. There we go.
So Manti City's tax rate is 000697.
Unchanged.
It is unchanged, that's correct. We are not doing truth in taxation this year. And that information is brought to us by the county auditor.
Okay. Does the council have any questions about that certified tax rate? Okay, then I will accept a motion to adopt the Sepe County certified tax rate for the Manti City of 000697.
I will make a motion that we adopt the county auditor's certified tax as stated.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, the motion was made by Brian Francois and seconded by A.J. Maurer that we accept that auditor certified tax rate of 000.697 or 000697. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. We are going through here. All right, number 8 on the agenda is Sanpete County Chamber of Commerce membership discussion. Jason, do you want to give us a little background on this or do you want us to just start discussing?
So, Manti City has been a contributing member to the Chamber of Commerce countywide, and our membership is now due. That balance is $650 if we continue our membership. I have expressed some questions, you know, what's the benefit of being a Chamber of Commerce member? How does Manti City how do we benefit from that? And so I know Jen, you, and Mary have been to those meetings and just kind of turned some time to you on what you guys have experienced.
Go ahead, Jen.
The New Sanpete County Chamber of Commerce has done an excellent job, I think, in just uniting the county businesses. The networking they provide to the businesses has been beneficial, witnessed firsthand, the partnerships they've created, the training they've provided, just the back and forth partnerships I've seen between businesses in the north end of the county with clear out to Fayette and Gunnison. They've created some great relationships that way. They provide training opportunities, they provide information on grants available. They are also big advocates. They're always up at the Yale, the legislature. They have brought both Senator Owens and Burgess and Burgess down to several meetings for open to business leaders to have discussions with them. So I can't rave about Lynn and her crew enough, honestly. She is just a go-getter and involved and just wants to see the best for Santee County through the business.
Right. I did a little bit of research on their website. One of the questions we had is, are there businesses in Manti who are members? Yes, there are. Out of the, I believe there are 75 members of the chamber throughout the county. We have 17 businesses here in Manti. And that's the ones that I recognize, oh, you're in Manti. There may be a few that I just didn't recognize the name as being in Manti, but there are at least 17. I know there are at least that many. Yes, we have talked with Phelan several times about the business availability of business openings on Main Street, where we have openings for where there are empty storefronts where we would love to have businesses. So she is actively pursuing. If somebody comes and says, hey, this is what I'm looking for, she knows what we have available. She's also talked about wanting to start some incubator spots within the city, if we can find a position, a place to start some incubator spots for businesses there, which would be a spot for a business that is just beginning, where they don't need a lot, but they need maybe a spot where they could have a storefront, open, you know, put a computer in there, open their door, and just get a foothold on that.
They've opened one old co-op building
It's in the Granary.
The Granary, that's right.
Granary Arts.
They're remodeling that as the chamber office and then to have office space for business startups, incubator stuff. And she has had a huge call for that.
Yeah.
And needs overflow. Was hoping we could provide some of that here in Manti. So.
Well, people are also looking for spaces where they have a small storefront and then in the back they have shop space, things like that. As far as membership in it, we are one of 9 cities that are members of the chamber at this time. My personal feelings are that we benefit enough from being members that I would like to continue to see Manti City be a member. They are also now holding quite a few of their events down at the County Fairgrounds Event Center, which is in Manti. And guess what? When they do that, people come to Manti and sometimes they shop here. So that's an added benefit, too. Anyway, so my feelings, I personally would be in favor of continuing that membership. So what else do you guys think?
I know the Chamber of Commerce is there as a benefit to business owners, right, to bring them together, networking. There's a whole lot of things that go on there. Is it typically beneficial for a city entity to be a part of a Chamber of Commerce? Is that typical?
From an economic development standpoint, yes. I believe it's extremely beneficial for a city to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce. It also shows our businesses that we do support the Chamber, which is basically developed for businesses. And the city is a business, honestly. We're a business entity.
I was invited to go to the Chamber some time ago, and I was impressed with our local businesses that were there, and to see our council there and support them too. It's always nice hearing reports from Mary and Jen of the networking and how the city plays a role in that. So what the little bit I saw in the reports we always hear is probably a good thing.
You were there to see Troy, Shelley.
Yeah, I saw Troy that day, and like you say, I could see people and the wheels are spinning, and they're looking for a place that maybe they'd bring one here. And
it's not a big spend, $650.
No, and I think it's worth it. And we have a council member or two that can make that work every month. And that's my, like I say, I was invited to go a few times, and I was impressed. Yep.
Any more discussion from anybody? So do we need a consensus on this?
I think I heard it.
Okay. All right. All right. We will move on to number 9 then. Annexation Policy Plan Third Review. So what do we need to do on this tonight?
Just needed to see if the council had any questions on that review.
Nothing has changed since the last time, right, that we looked at it.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Great.
It looks fine.
Yeah. So we will be voting on that next meeting, I'm assuming, since the moratorium ends on the 21st.
That's correct. Okay. It's scheduled to be adopted or rejected, whatever you guys choose.
We'll do something on that next meeting. All right. Same thing for our number 10, our subdivision ordinance third review. Again, has anything changed on it since the last time we discussed
it?
Yes.
Okay.
The water.
Okay.
Okay. And that's what Meg Lydia, that was coming about.
Yeah.
Okay.
The language is quite rough. It's lengthy. I just want to jump down to this table. So this table came from the 2022 water plan. It was done by Ensign Engineering. So as you can see here, indoor use requirement, 0.45 acre feet of water per lot would be required just for culinary purposes. As we have looked at the subdivision requirements for outdoor watering, secondary watering, those that fit in the Manti City Creek system, they would have to provide the water they need for outdoor watering. But this number, this 0.45, is what was identified that we would require. In my conversation with Hayden Coon with the Division of Water Rights yesterday in my meeting, he just noted in communities such as like Monroe, they require a 1 acre foot of underground water right. There's several communities that kind of just adopted that 1 acre foot policy. Just kind of is what it is now. As the annexations and the subdivisions come in, location is going to be obviously vetted on what would be required. If there is ground that has no secondary water, then that bottom number would be the number that would have to be required per lot, and based on lot size.
Okay.
So McKay and I have spent a lot of time looking at multiple different subdivision ordinances, water requirements. I presented this to the district engineer, and I asked his opinion. He says this is standard requirement in nearly all cities for development. So we're not asking anything that's more than any other community. In some instances, we're asking less.
Okay. Does the council have any questions? Any other questions on that?
Granted, this language was kind of finally put together today after my meeting with the Division of Water Rights yesterday. I recognize it's new. It's now in the folder for review. We'll probably tweak some of the language. Some of it's kind of redundant. I would like to simplify that. Just list the code itself and allow the council to review that and make suggestions. And then this is also ready for next council meeting to be adopted.
Okay, sounds good. We'll look that over before next time when we get the final one. That sounds good. Okay. Thank you, Jason. Moving on to number 11, the E911 Rural Health Tax Discussion. Okay, Jen and Brian went to the hearing last night, the public hearing, which unfortunately we had the wrong time for. And thanks to Jen, we actually got there. This is how San Pete County is going to fund emergency dispatch services. They have tried to put out some good information on it. What they're proposing is that we're having the discussion because we're facing an increase in costs associated with emergency communications and dispatch operations. There is a couple of options that they came up with. The one that they have decided is the most equitable is called a rural health tax. It's a potential funding source authorized under Utah law. It has nothing to do with rural health facilities, i.e. a hospital or a clinic or anything like that, but what it does have to do with is the one of the options you can use that tax for is for your dispatchers. And what it would do is it would be a local option sales and use tax authorized under a Utah code, and eligible rural counties, which is us, may impose up to a 1% sales tax to help fund emergency medical services, clinics, health care centers, and other rural health needs. And this one would only be for the E911 in San Pete County. It would have nothing to do with medical service, clinics, healthcare centers, or anything like that. It would specifically be. So what they did last night is they held a public hearing. There were no comments, so they have come up with the resolution. They will adopt that resolution August 18th or 17th. And then they will it has to be 45 days from yesterday, I believe it is. And so then they will adopt that resolution, and then that will be on the ballot this fall for a 1% tax. It will not be a tax on food like that you use, like milk, eggs, grocery store foods that are individuals. It would be on prepackaged and pre-processed foods, and it would also be on non-food items, but not gasoline. So it would, in a lot of ways, be... if you don't want to pay it, don't buy a four-wheeler or things like that. Anyway, the county commission has been absorbing the cost up until now, which has been running about, what, $400,000, they said, something like that. So they've been paying for it up until now. Now it is going up to almost, $857,000 plus. And so they have just gotten to the point where the county can't absorb that by themselves anymore. So this seems the most equitable way to do it, because it would be a tax on everyone in the county and anyone who comes into the county to buy. And we're all the ones that use 911 anyway. So it's kind of like, okay, we're funding this ourselves. So if someone came down here and they went to McDonald's, there would be a tax on the pre-processed foods that they purchased there. If they came down here and bought an ATV or something like that, they would pay the tax. But then when they go up their mountains, they have to call 911, and then they're helping to pay for the 911 service. Some of the frequently asked questions were, would groceries be taxed? Most qualifying grocery food items would remain exempt from the additional 1% tax. What purchases would be affected? Most non-food retail purchases would be subject to that tax. And a $100 purchase would add a dollar to the tax. So it's not astronomical. The other option, if this does not pass, is that it will be spread out among the municipalities, and everyone who has a meter in a municipality will be charged a fee by the city, because we will have to cover that cost as a city for our portion of it, and we'll have to divvy that out amongst everybody in the city who has a meter. And it could amount to, I've heard estimates of anywhere from $7 to $11 per household. So, per household per month. So, you know, every time we hear, you know, tax increase, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, we don't want a tax increase. However, this is an unfunded state mandate that has come down. We are going to pay for it one way or the other. And this 1% sales tax seems to be the most equitable and the least expensive way to do it. So we're just trying to get the word out there. They will be holding more informational meetings between now and the August 17th when they adopt that.
I don't think so. I think they're going to wait until closer to
okay.
the election.
Oh, then maybe that's what they're going to do. Anyway, there will be more. They may adopt the resolution, but then there will be town halls between then and the election where they will be able to answer questions. They have a really good PowerPoint that explains it very, very well. So anyway, does anyone have any more comments on that? Okay. Anyway, so just to be aware, it's still coming up. All right, let's move on to number 12, which is fee schedule resolution adoption. We've kind of been working on this for a while. This is the resolution to accept the fee changes. There were some slight changes to our fee schedule. Most of them dealt with water, sewer, is that right?
Power.
Just to meet the ongoing increases that the city has been, you know, has been passed on to the city, particularly with the drought going on with our energy. Does anybody need any more discussion on the resolution for the fees?
Yeah, we discussed this in our last meeting.
It hasn't changed,
though,
right?
Nothing has changed.
Okay. So are we ready to adopt that fee schedule? If you feel like you have any more questions. Okay. I will accept a motion to accept Resolution 2026-2, the fee schedule adoption.
I'll make that motion.
And I'll second it.
Okay. Motion made by Jim Christiansen, seconded by Brian Francois. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right, now.
Any opposed?
Oh, any opposed? Okay. I knew everybody said yes. Okay, moving on to number 13. Adoption of the proposed fiscal year 2026-27 interim budget. This is resolution 2026-3. Is there any more discussion on the interim budget? Or can anybody got any more questions? We've discussed this like forever. Okay, I will accept a motion to adopt the proposed fiscal year 2026-27 interim budget, resolution 2026-3.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, these two are fighting over it. Motion made by Megan Johnson and approved by Jen Christiansen to adopt that. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. AJ, you can do the next one. Okay, we are going to now discuss fireworks for this year. And for this discussion, we would like to invite Elliot Anderson, our fire chief, to come on up. We came up with a resolution that we were going to do. We were concerned about the possibility of fires in the middle of June, and it's gotten nothing but worse since then. That was before the big fires had even broken out. And we kind of decided that the council would like to prohibit fireworks. Then the governor did an emergency order prohibiting fireworks from July 2nd through July 5th, which is normally the time that it would be done, with the exception that he said the professional fireworks could go on if they deemed that it was appropriate and safe, and that the individual cities would have an opportunity to designate a place that they felt was safe. I think because Manti City, pretty much almost all of it falls within the WUI area, is that kind of we're on the wildlife-urban interface, where the mountains are right here. We kind of felt like we still wanted to prohibit personal fireworks this year. I think that was the consensus when we came up with this resolution. So now I guess the question is, we would like to hear from you, what is your take on what's going on, firemen who are available to fight fires, and what your position would be?
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate that, council members. Jason, thank you. Just to throw out some numbers for you, the month of June, your volunteer fire service has put over 500 hours in Manti Fire Department alone. We're already stretched thin. We haven't started fire season. We sent four firefighters to the Cottonwood Fire. They called for a Type 1 engine, which is structural protection. We had that engine ready to go within an hour and left. They called, we went. We didn't worry about compensation. We did get compensated well for that, or will, when those government checks come back, but we weren't in for that. We were going to help neighbors to save homes. They called, we went. As we continue on, we went to the Molly's fire up by Mary's Nipple. If you saw that, your Manti engines were the first engines there due to Sterling and Gunnison. We're already all gone on other fires in our county on the north west corner over by Yuba Painted Rock. The issue, and I think what I'm seeing with the governor's recommendation too, is these fires aren't burning the way they were burning last year, the year before. These are the kind of fires that we're going to burn cities down. Mm-hmm. And it's not fires that we'll be able to put out. Even if we have the water, we're seeing trees and fuels burn that have never burned this way before in lower altitudes and higher altitudes. Usually you're pretty safe in aspen, mm-hmm. sagebrush kind of country. And I've been in the fire service since 1999, and I've never seen juniper burn in June like we're seeing right now. Last week we got called out to a fire at Gunnison Reservoir. Mm-hmm. We went out there to investigate that. The warden came out with us. And we found out that that was the wild goose fire, okay. And it was actually shadowing our ridge with flames, because the flames were so high.
Yeah.
We sat up there and watched 300-foot yeah. flames off the top of that peak.
I took a walk that night because we could see the glow, and we thought it was the one over by Fayette. And when we went walking down the road, though, we saw this glow in the sky, and then all of a sudden some tree caught, and it just exploded. We couldn't see the flames, but you could see the red. Just, it was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that.
And faced with that, you can't put personnel in front of these fires like mm-hmm. we used to, or even start flames, and we do kind of a flank and pants maneuver. But it's just the safest maneuver to fight fires, but even that, a quick wind change, we can't really put personnel on some of these fires. And we are seeing also, I think what we need to educate on is trees dry out, or so do homes, so do our cities. Mm-hmm. We found that out when we went to the Cottonwood fire. These homes were actually prepped very well for fire to come around, but they still burned because they were so dry. Mm-hmm. We found a lot of eaves that just had got fire up, just some small embers were starting these homes on fires. Mm-hmm. And we did what we could. We were assigned 7 homes, and like before, they're all still standing. They did a good job, but they worked a 36-hour shift without stopping. Mm-hmm. They gave it all for us. We should be really proud of that crew. But even on that, they were on their way home, and another fire started in Sulphur Dell, where they were on the highway. So they pulled off, and they were the second truck on that. With one individual from their county was all they could respond for 20 minutes. So we even assisted for another 6 hours on that fire, because we're spread thin. I don't really think fireworks is even a question right now. I think we all know what the answer is, even if the government says it or not, to be responsible, you shouldn't light wicks everywhere. No one should light them. That's just a responsible thing to do where we live. I am a firework lover, love fireworks. I enjoy blowing stuff up, I'm not going to lie. But this year is not the year that we should maybe be questioning that. So I support no private fireworks in the city. We are still looking at shooting the city show. We're looking at what we have going on. But with that, I also have called Gunnison, Ephraim, Sterling, and Wells and Spring City and some of these other departments to see what they're doing and what resources they can maybe even send down here for that show. It's going to depend on the wind and the weather.
Right.
But we're hoping to shoot those fireworks.
Well, and Governor Cox did say in his thing, if we have to shoot them on November 30th or December 31st, you know, when there's snow on the ground, so be it. We can open it up and do it during that time.
I think we can celebrate the 250-year any time of the year.
Absolutely.
Or next year, if
you guys. Absolutely. You know what? We can transcend time and space and do it next year.
I had a heck of a Christmas light show for the Christmas parade.
Right.
There you go.
Well, that was brought to my attention, too, and I'm with you. One thing that I wanted to bring up to City Council that I learned from last year is we had a lot of people show up in our city that weren't from our city, everywhere. We had people shooting some very large fireworks, and the fallout was going over our homes, our churches, mm-hmm. so we started writing down some names and numbers just in case we had problems later. We even had some damages. We had 12 fires last year on the 4th of July evening. So I can't imagine what we'd do if we were going to do that again. But what we found was these people weren't even related to people in Manti. They were just coming to Manti, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. But I finally tracked down what was happening. And what was happening was our fireworks stands were giving these people lists of cities that didn't ban fireworks. So they knew where to go when they bought fireworks shows. To sell the fireworks.
Okay.
And so if you don't ban, I'm just fair warm in every other city that doesn't. There's a list out there that probably has their name on it, and they're going to get dated with a lot more than they were ever anticipating.
Okay. Appreciate that very much. And we really appreciate your crew.
Well, thank you.
All of your crews. They are outstanding, and we're sure glad that they're in our city. And I'm probably everybody is aware that there were three firefighters that lost their lives on the Utah-Colorado border because they were on a burnover, and they were not able to get in their shelters fast enough. And that's just tragic, and so we don't want to see that happening. So my question is, Jason, do we need to still adopt that resolution banning the fireworks, or is the governor's enough for us? And then what's the best way to get that word out?
So the executive order is in place. It supersedes our ordinance.
Okay.
One thing you could look at, because the executive order only goes through July 5th, is readdress this same ordinance resolution on our next council meeting on the 15th.
Supposedly we're supposed to get some lessons and maybe things will change. I don't know that they're going to change enough by the 24th, but we could definitely readdress it.
Yeah, I mean, next time. We had a garage fire in that time of day, so things could explode on us terribly fast. We don't need to adopt this. Getting the word out. I mean, we're trying our best, and I think everybody in the state of Utah has heard of the firework ban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enforcement is a concern. If we're going to do a professional show where everybody can come and enjoy it, I mean, we've added, you know, another $1,000 worth of fireworks to that show.
Right.
Because of our 250 celebration. The last thing we want is our firefighters to be chasing additional fires.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, it's totally in your hands as to whether it goes or don't go. You're the go, no go on the 4th of July, and if we don't do it on the 4th of July, we'll do it when the time is appropriate. So hang on to them in a safe place, and we'll do that when time is appropriate.
I have a question. So, I mean, I think everybody, like you said, Jason, has heard that there should not be fireworks, personal fireworks. I mean, what happens if we start to see some fireworks going off by private citizens? Is there any action that would be taken, and would that be through the fire department, or would that be law enforcement, or what happens if we start to see some of that happen?
If we see it, documentation would probably be best. I don't know if law enforcement will be big enough to handle that kind of call volume.
Yeah.
That would be a law enforcement job to regulate, or that, or a zoning ordinance person. I don't know how our zoning ordinance person set up in Manti, but that would be the sheriff's office, unless they start a fire, and that would involve the fire department coming in there and going from there. I know they are very serious about anyone that starts a fire will be held responsible for suppression costs. And just to have one Type 1 engine is $2,000 a day. So even a brush truck for a few $100 an hour is going to be quite expensive for anyone that's going to want to start a fire. They might consider that they lie, that they are held responsible for suppression costs this year.
Well, and the feedback that I have heard and seen is that people in town are extremely supportive of this ban this year. I haven't seen anybody that's like, oh my gosh, they're infringing on our freedom, and this, that, the other thing. It's like, no, because it's not just the fires here, it's the fires elsewhere that are taking our people away that would be problematic.
Yes, so, and having the ability to send our extra to help our neighbor is well worth it. But if we're busy, we won't have that extra, maybe to save themselves, or maybe that other city won't have the extra to come help us.
Okay.
That was my question.
Me too.
I just want to make sure, I know we got limited resources, but I want to make sure we have crews here in Manti for a garage or a structure fire. Or,
right.
Like, I know we send them out to help the neighbors, which is awesome.
Yes.
But I just wanted to make sure you answered that. We have crews here mapped out to fight structured fires.
That's a great question. And just so you know, we also coordinate with Gunnison, Sterling. I know when they are going, we don't even send our leadership out because the fire service is a huge logistical engine
right. That
has to work. So even when the trucks are here, you need the personnel on those trucks. And then on top of that, you need your leadership that can help with these fast-growing, rapid fires so we make some good decisions so we don't put people at risk. Like even if all goes well, I've seen some things on fires go terribly wrong with people that I don't trust with my life any day. But with that question, we do talk, and there's always what we need here at Manti Fort first. Being part of the fire district's been nice because we do have good excess equipment. It's not really excess. I maybe said that wrong. But it can be moved around this logistical engine to where Ephraim has an extra engine, Sterling has an extra engine. So if I send one, they cover us fully. And so forth. So there's a lot of communication between not just me, but the other fire chiefs to make sure that's in place.
Perfect.
So I guess what we need is a consensus to hold on to Resolution 2026-4 for the time being, and then we'll readdress it closer to the 21st of July. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of what we're doing?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. So we will put a hold on that. We will do go with the ban that is in place with the state. We will say there is nowhere in Manti that is safe to set off private fireworks. Now, we do need to say that does not include sparklers that are less than 12 inches long. Is that correct? And poppers?
They still could be held responsible.
If they start a fire. But if they're, you know, the best thing to do is go buy some little LED lights and throw them up in the air. I was down in Cedar and they had their Ace Hardware, these little things. It's like a little helicopter-y thing, and it has a little LED light in it. You can have a big old rubber band, and you shoot up in the air, and it comes spinning down. My grandkids think it's awesome. And when I saw those, I thought, yeah, this is the year to get those.
You know, we have found, though, a lot of times these fires weren't started from the initial fireworks show that the private
but
stole the fireworks show. They put it in their trash can,
yep.
So getting those sparklers piled on cement or in a bucket of water to be...
So if somebody asks, we're going to refer them to you.
Okay.
There you go. We'll give them your phone number.
We'd be happy to take the call.
Well, do please pass on to the fire department how much we appreciate you, and we're behind you 100%.
Yes.
And we will
110%. No matter what Saturday brings,
right.
We don't shoot fire, we support it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
not the
end
of the world.
Development with that. Our storage has been a little limited, but... Gunnison's fire chief actually has some better storage facilities, so we do end up needing to store some fireworks. He actually offered that to us
to bring that up
for the season.
Okay.
So,
good enough.
The coordination's been well, and I appreciate that. And do you have any more questions for me?
Anybody have any more questions?
Just a comment. We will post this still on our social media sites and just continue to spread the word that there's no personal fireworks.
Perfect. Thank you, Jason. Elliot, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
One thing that I've seen in the fire service.
Knock yourself out.
Okay.
Go for it. We got it.
There's a culture shift in the fire service and just fire in general. And grazing is something that's looking down as not a good thing. I've heard talk to a lot of people that say, oh, grazing's terrible. And I love the mountain. And I've heard a lot of cows in this mountain. I've heard cows in Moab. Done too much cowboying. But grazing is an important balance to the fire service. And I know Manti's always really been pro-grazing with helping with corrals and keep the cows. We didn't want to herd them through town, so we built some corrals so we can, you know, put them at the mouth of Manti Canyon. But grazing is something we should definitely still educate on when we have the opportunity to let people know a lot of these fires are stopped on cow trails or sheep trails. A lot of these fires... That's what's stopping them. It's not so much us digging a lot of line. The aircraft can dump all they want, but it still takes a good cow trail, usually, to run these fires into the ground. We had the opportunity to haul some smoke jumpers over to Fayette. They couldn't land. They don't like our mountain. They're jumping at parachutes, I guess. So we hauled them over. But we've been doing all sorts of things. But we've also employed our ranchers to haul shovels of Manti Canyon and out west. We talked to them about having shovels and done some fire training for their crews so that they could help maybe mitigate some quick fires, roadside fires and whatnot. I told them maybe they should put shovels on their horses instead of guns this year. They agreed they might do that. So if you see a cowboy ride by with a shovel, give them a thumbs up.
What is it? You got it.
But just the culture shift, we can educate with fire so we get good pertinent information of grazing, not overgrazing, but good management of our forest. Because Manti has an issue. In 10 years, our forest is going to come to us. If we don't have fire push it back, it's coming here because that's how trees work. So today we're okay, but it's coming. But thank you for the time.
Yeah. Well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Am I okay to excuse myself?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks so much for coming. I appreciate it. Yeah.
For the communication to the community, I highly recommend that you put it on the city webpage. There's people, believe it or not, that don't get on Facebook, and that webpage should be utilized for those kind of announcements.
We are working on that. Okay. We appreciate the comment very much. No, what we would like to do is get to the point where if somebody has a question about what's going on in Manti City, they go to the Manti City website because that's where you get the correct information, which isn't always on some of those other things. All right. Speaking of the 4th of July, our next item is the 4th of July community celebration. All right. Jen, do you want to kind of fill them in on what's going on, or do you want me to, or Jason?
Do you want to?
Jen hasn't sent it up tonight.
So, Jen, tell us about July 3rd, since you're the details.
July 3rd. I'm excited about July 3rd, because our new youth city council is having an activity down at the sports park. They're having the live band, the Dukes, play starting at 7. And they're going to have a chalk throw and some treats and games and stuff going on, so they'll be down at the sports park.
Or that, too.
Yeah, whichever. From 7 to 9:30 Friday night. We also have our pickleball tournament that starts at 4:30 up here at the pickleball courts.
Novices at 4:30 sign up.
Yep.
Intermediates at 6:30.
Yeah, advanced starts at 6:30. Sign ups are right there at the pickleball court.
Age on the youth activity.
Youth activity is 7th through 12th grade.
Okay.
So
that's great. 4th of July, of course, there are lots of activities starting with the American Legion breakfast at the park. There will be lots of activities going on all day. The typical, your races and tug of war and the grease pole and the watermelon bust and free swimming at the pool to the first 300 people into the pool. Then after the park activities, there will be the activities at the sports park that evening. Is that correct? And weather permitting and Elliot's okay, there will be a fireworks show. Otherwise, we'll put that on hold and we'll do that.
Great.
Oh, and the parade. Oh, yeah. There's a parade. That's right. There's a parade. Parade at 6 p.m. down Manti Street.
Megan Pendleton says all ages are welcome to our parade.
Yes.
Megan's husband has graciously agreed to pull us on a trailer in the parade. So
you can throw watermelons at us.
We are
with us
in the canyon. We've got some awesome to give out giveaways
bracelets
that the city council is going to hand out along the route.
It's going to be an old-fashioned 4th of July in Manti City.
Fun and some bugling.
Yeah.
By an unknown guest. So the one thing I should mention, Donna Burke reached out to me, and she's a little worried they're going to have a really big crowd for breakfast in the morning.
Okay.
She was hoping to round up some more volunteers just with them for cleanup and, pouring juice and that kind of stuff. She asked me to ask the youth city council, so I reached out to them. I reached out to the Sterling Scholar advisor as well.
Okay.
But I also told her I would mention it tonight. So the breakfast, they start at 6, she said, down there prepping and whatnot.
Okay.
But
so they'll start at 6 prepping. The breakfast runs from 7 to 10 a.m. And I believe it's $8 for adults and $5 for kids.
Yep.
Like 12 or 11, something like that. It's always a really, really good breakfast.
Oh, and if you volunteer, you get free breakfast.
Oh, there you go.
Bonus.
There's incentive.
Right.
All right.
I
think it is too.
Anything else?
We're going to have a really good watermelon bust. Because we've got really good watermelon knives this year to cut the watermelons with. So, any other questions about 4th of July?
Or change chairmans have been amazing. We have
yes,
good,
the chairman
have
been
good,
fantastic. Chairman
and
vice chairman.
Together are volunteers, so.
Yep.
Right? That was a shout out. Good. That was a shout out. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on 4th of July? Except everybody be there. I believe they will have some extra shirts for sale, correct? For the 4th of July, because usually people that do 5K get shirts, but usually there are shirts, extra shirts available for the 4th of July. And we're going to, the city, we're going to have a table there with some goodies too from the city, so come on by and see us at the park. Okay. All right, I think we are time to move on to our continuing business. We are going to wait on the annexation, the subdivision moratorium. The moratorium expires July 21st, so we will anticipate approving those next meeting on July 15th. Is there anything else on that since we've already talked about it? Okay, we're good. City ordinance correction on the rear yard accessory building capacity. Anything we need to do on that tonight?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. How is the master plan, general plan update? I know McKay was doing another walk around town at 6 today.
Tonight
at 6. And those have been really, really good. I went on both of the ones that he did before, and it's really good for to get an idea of what's going on, what we would like to see for Manti's master plan and general plan. So do we have any kind of an update other than that at this point? I think he will be accepting more information on that from citizens. There is a survey. There is a QR code for a survey for you to fill out what you'd like to see. There's a board out front that has it on. I know it's been on the Facebook page. Yes, Manti City Facebook page.
And you will have it down at the park on
yes,
July.
It will be down at the park.
We'll have that available.
And it's really easy. It literally takes like three to 5 minutes to fill out. And basically, we want to see what people want. Okay, Veterans Memorial. Do we need to do a little talking on that one?
No. You saw my text message today.
Okay.
A temporary layout has been staked. I know we want to gather a few and relook at that. You know, I made a comment suggestion. I want to see how that looks like on paper before we go and actually move the stakes.
Okay.
And maybe do a conceptual overhaul of that whole corner.
Council, if you have not had an opportunity to walk down there, go ahead and walk down. Wear your boots because you got to walk through the dirt to get to it. But here we are.
You can see it from the road, Mary.
Well, I'm not up close. You know, okay, so I'm going to tell you, that is the very first time I have ever walked over there to see that what's there. On all of those benches that are there are the names of World War I veterans, World War II veterans, Korea veterans, and Vietnam veterans from Manti City who served. And they are on plaques on those little benches that are around the flagpole. I had no idea.
And those benches will need to be redone. They're fiberglass and falling apart.
Yeah, I noticed one of them was a little skewampus and one of the legs was shorter than the other. And it's really hard to read the names now, so there's going to need to be some upkeep on that.
But thus, the names will be transferred into the new veterans.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
because I think the rainwater has sat on them and not done good things. Okay. Park paths and trails, do we have any updated information on that? We're just going to sit on that for right now.
Not yet. Hopefully, okay. Next council will have a little bit better update.
Okay, America 250 Utah. There are tons of things that have gone on up until the 4th of July, and it's not going to end on the 4th of July. There are lots of things that will continue through probably the remainder of the year. One of the things that I would like to mention that we should have probably mentioned earlier is on July 5th, they are having what's called America's Potluck. And if you would like to gather with your neighbors, your friends, your neighborhood, you know, your family, whatever, to have a meal together on the afternoon of July 5th, everyone's being encouraged to do that. So if you've got neighbors you want to invite over and have everybody bring a potluck item or whatever, it's a really good opportunity to get together and celebrate.
We did that.
Economic development.
Just a quick update there. Tomorrow it is scheduled to have the city-owned property north of the dollar store between there and the ball fields, it will be staked out so we know exactly where property is. That's slated to happen tomorrow.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. And then we've already talked about the E911. All right, let's go to council member reports. Megan, we're going to start with you tonight. Just because I can.
Just because you want to
hear me. Just because I can.
That's good.
Okay.
No, really.
Nothing. Okay, that's just fine. All right. I do have, do I do mine now or later? Anyway. Let's go ahead and do AJ.
No, I don't have any room tonight.
That's fine. That's awesome. Okay, Jen.
No, I'm done.
Okay, Brian,
you're
up. Nothing. Seriously, am I the only one? Oh, I guess I'll wait because I'll be
your mayor.
Okay, then we are going to go to our city manager's administration report.
I just wanted to update everyone on the senior center improvement project. So just going to share a few photos with you all. These are some before photos as everything's been removed out of the building.
Temporary wall.
I just wanted to point out on the east side of the building, it doesn't show at all, but this floor, if you remember walking in on that, feeling the big depression, and there we jacked the floor up and they did a darn good job. Really pleased with how well it turned out. When we did jack the floor up, we raised the front door about not quite even a quarter of an inch. Well, we have to remove the threshold on that and replace it because now the door won't open.
Oh, gosh. So, there you go.
Here in the next couple of weeks, as we get further along, we anticipate having the kitchen ready for cabinets to be measured on Monday or Tuesday of next week. That's going to be our longest lead time. Now we're going to be 2 months out on cabinets. But things are moving along really well. You can see there on the floor the railing for the new wall partition, which will separate some of the storage from the main room.
Holy mackerel.
And things are going well.
And I've heard that using the facility down at the fairgrounds is working really well for meals. Is that correct?
It's working great. Been there many times for lunch, and we're enjoying it.
Good. Awesome. Do you have anything else, Jason?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Now it's our favorite time of the night. We are ready for a public comment. If you have any public comments, we would love to hear from you. If you can keep it to 2 minutes, we would appreciate it if you'll state your name and whether you're a resident or a non-resident.
I'm Ken Kells. I am a resident now after being overseas. I'm here to represent one of our fathers who helped to build the Palisade Lake. And they're actually building a facility out in Palisade there. And it's a shared responsibility between the state and us, so it's just not totally the park. I'm just here to find out who on the city council would like to be there to participate in this on August 8th.
I have it on my calendar already.
You're the one? Okay. I just didn't know who specifically. I know AJ's been helping. I appreciate your help on this, too.
I don't know if she knows. I told her I'd be there.
Okay.
I never know.
Right. My daughter-in-law is related to Daniel Funk.
I'm related to him too, so full disclosure.
Awesome.
The other thing, I did check the city pond. It's almost to the first measuring interval, so the water will be turned on tomorrow and have it all the way on through Sunday. At least that's what I got from Dave.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we will have water and we'll have water pressure.
Yeah, good. Pressure's good too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Ralph Aaron, a resident. Just a question. Usually the July 4th in the city park, we have a ladder truck spraying water for about an hour. So we can do that again?
That's a good question, and I meant to ask Elliot that, if we were under with the water.
Yeah, they're doing the tug of war, we know that for sure. But yeah, they can spray.
I do know, I think he had to check with Corey, find out water line
pressure.
But
okay, good question.
To justify if they do it, they have to do maintenance on the hydrants. So from my understanding, they were going to wait and do the maintenance on that hydrant for this specific time.
Perfect.
So it kind of didn't. It wasn't wasteful. It like has to
be
done.
They were going to use the water.
They were going to coincide that, but it depends on whether Corey's feeling like it's possible or not.
Okay.
It seems like they sprayed that water for an awful long time.
They do.
I just ask. I'm just concerned whether it's a wise use. Are you wanting a shower?
We need to wait. Yeah, everything's on standby. Fireworks are on standby.
Everything, yeah.
Water,
yeah.
We kind of talked about that. Yeah. Wait and see. Yeah.
Has our, on that, Jason, has our well been running, or are we strictly running still off springs?
So,
I mean, because if it's springs, I mean, we can only hold so much, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so or, 2 weeks ago we turned it out, Sister Spring.
Right.
As required by the state. They allowed us to leave Big Spring in, and that is currently keeping us from operating the well.
Wow.
I just know some of these towns are operating at 60% of their wells, or 70 is what I hear, so that's good to know that our springs are
still
not helping. So we can't slow the springs down, we can't speed them up, they just come and we got to take it.
And it runs to Delta if we don't use it.
Yep.
Hey, Corey's been tracking some additional water data for me this year, as I'm trying to better understand our system. And he will be presenting some data they've been tracking on council on the 15th of July. And we're, you know, grateful that the state of Utah has permitted us to keep Big Spring in. Historically, the city's never had trouble with Big Spring. It's just kind of co-located on that same hillside as Sister Spring, so they lumped it together to turn it out. The guys were up doing some repairs today on one of the spring boxes as we went and did our inspections. So that should have been taken care of today.
Any more public comments?
Susan Manning, resident. And I'm going to be contacting the Dollar General manager. They're not taking care of the outside of the store. There's weeds everywhere. And I think if the city council would send them a letter, and a lot of us residents, if we would send them a letter, I don't want that to look junky.
I think we're all on that. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Susan. Appreciate it.
Heather Weiss, I'm a resident. I'm just curious. With our water levels being what they are and with all the fire danger, I am curious to think if you guys would consider passing an ordinance saying that if you overwater or if you are setting off fireworks, you are going to get like a citation, like a traffic ticket or something. Because I know one year, it was like 20 years ago, we had a family reunion on the beach at Oregon. My uncle was setting off fireworks and a cop came and it was like a traffic type ticket. So I'm just wondering if that is something that y'all would consider.
Thank you. And okay, we'll move on to mine. I have one real quick thing and then we'll talk about our schedule for the rest of the year. The Historical Preservation Commission met on June 22nd. They had a really good meeting. We have appointed Shannon Miller to be the chair, provided that when she gets home from Europe, she accepts, which I think she will. And we did have a discussion on that National Register of Historic Places making Manti, beginning the process of having Manti designated as a National Historic Area. And I can't remember whether I told everybody, because we were concerned about the tax implications on that for Manti. And when I looked it up, if you are in a National Historic Area and you have a building that you improve, you can take a one-time 20% tax credit off of your state taxes. So it will not affect Manti City taxes in any way, shape, form, won't affect our property taxes or anything like that. But it does open up the opportunity for some grants, funding, and some other benefits. However, it does in no way make it so that you can't do what you want with your property. There is no requirement of, you can tear it down. You can tear your building down. You can change it. You can paint it purple. You can do whatever you want to it. You still retain all rights and privileges to your property. It's just an overlay on the city that does provide some benefits to people who would like to use that benefit. So we're in the process of doing that. However, one of the things we'll have to do is a survey of the city to find out how many historical buildings we have, which Manti City, I believe, has more historical buildings that are more than 50 years old than any other city in the state. So, yeah. So anyway, we're kind of in the process of that. We've got a really good Historic Preservation Commission. We've got some really good skills, and I'm really pleased that they have agreed to serve. And I think, okay, now we need to talk about our August through December council meeting schedule. Take it away, Jason.
The proposal from the staff is to do one council meeting per month, moving forward, at least try and experiment through December. Our recommendation would be to utilize the second Wednesday of the month. Right now we're doing the first and third. The first doesn't give us enough time to get financial data to the council, so our recommendation would be the second Wednesday.
Comments?
In my understanding is, if there needed to be an emergency meeting, we would do one, but based on prior history, that once a month should be sufficient to meet the needs. Is that correct?
Correct.
And we would, if we decide to do that, then we would advertise that on our website and get the word out so that
yeah, we would start advertising
like
tomorrow.
Okay. So,
is it our notice is 2 weeks?
Yeah.
One day, but 24 hours, but we would want to post notice.
Yes. Post it ahead of time. Okay, any comments from the council on that? Anybody have an issue with the second Wednesday off the top of your head? Okay, so do we need to do anything other than say we have a consensus that we'll try that out from August through December?
You probably should make a motion and say that's what we'll do.
Can I have a motion? Do I have a motion to... You can, Jen. Before I say anything more, you go right ahead.
I'm assuming our mayor, no offense, Mary, but is our other mayor, Mary, okay with this?
She will be.
One thing that the mayor does not have that you have is the power of the vote.
I know. So.
And her only concern might be meetings with the League of Cities and Towns if they can coincide with that. And I don't know that they do, but...
Right.
This is your chance, Mary, to slam the gavel. I recommend it.
So do we want to wait until Mayor Mary gets back and do this on the 15th, or do we want to do it now so that we can get the word out as soon as possible?
I mean, we've talked about this before. She's been involved.
Yeah.
It's just the second Wednesday she probably wouldn't know about. Right.
Well, I think when we talked about it before, there was discussion of Tuesday or something like that. Right. And she had concerns about changing to a different day of the week because it conflicts with other entities that are meeting at the
same.
So I think that was the only issue that she had with that.
Okay. Well, since there are four of you here and me, I will entertain a motion to have one city council meeting per month starting in August through December of this year, and then we'll go forward on the second Wednesday of the month, August through December of 2026.
I will make that motion that we go to one meeting a month starting in August of 2026.
And I'll second it.
Motion made by Jennifer Christiansen and seconded by Brian Francois. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. We are good to go on that one. All right. We are now to the point where we do have an item for litigation discussion, and we will be moving to closed session. Do I have a motion to move to closed session?
I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. The motion was made by Megan Johnson and seconded by A.J. Maurer.
Well, he just didn't have his mic on.
Yeah.
You told me it was my time.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Everyone, thank you so very much for coming, and we will see you on Saturday after the 4th of July.
Oh, that's right.